Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW.
Welcome to the party! Oh my God, that's a coming, Sammy!
NXT.
It's over! Cross is here to ransack NXT soul!
Not anymore.
And indie wrestling. It's Wednesday night, Don Omite.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait. And now, your host, Don Tony.
All right, that's the last time you will ever see that banner. Obviously, now with Karrion Kross out of WWE, big things coming sooner than later. Welcome, everyone, to Wednesday Night Dynamite. Don Tony here. It is November 10th, 2021. I tell you, this is what I've been talking about the last bunch of weeks that AEW needed to do. Pull back. You don't have to have every single person on every single show. You're going to burn people out. You give us Lee Moriarty, which for most of us, never really followed him before. He teams up with Matt Sydal against Dante Martin and Leo Rush, and they tore the house down. Dax versus Pac, they tore the house down. Not the bigger names. Yes, I'm not taking anything away from Pac or Dax, but you don't have to make every Dynamite feel like a pay-per-view. Showcase why these people are signed to your contract. Yes, you're going to get some Acme Insta feuds. When Bobby Fish attacked Jungle Boy, I went on social media and immediately said, oh, okay, all right, I see what we're going to get on Friday. Nobody reacted to it, so I deleted it. Whatever. You could see some of these things. Matt Hardy attacking Orange Cassidy. Oh, are we still doing that? Oh, must be Rampage. Exactly, that's what we get, Lumberjack match. So what? I really enjoyed tonight's Dynamite. And it didn't have, you know, your big showcase, amazing. Think about it. Look at all the people who did not wrestle tonight. Good job, AEW. Good job. By the way, for those that don't know, Leo Rush, he dedicated the match tonight to his grandmother, who passed away, I believe, yesterday. He was very close with his grandmother, and he dedicated that match tonight to her. And I think his grandmother was smiling. You know, that hits home for me because I miss my grandmother. And my grandmother is the one that got me into pro wrestling in the first place. So you could thank Nanny. That's why I always called her. She's the one why I'm here. And obviously I'm here because of all of you. So anyway, before we go any further, and thank you very much for the early super chat, Steve Joseph. In fact, I will shout you out first. Have I ever done work with House of Glory, and will I in the future? No, I have never done any work with House of Glory. To be honest with you, I have never been asked. I don't think I will ever be asked, to be honest with you, and that's fine. They do a kick-ass job. I was supposed to go to House of Glory two WrestleManias ago. Problem is that instead of me contacting people that I knew behind the scenes in House of Glory, you know, I depended on someone else who stepped up and said, I'll take care of everything, and he did nothing. So I ended up not going. But, you know, locally here in New York, House of Glory is kick-ass, man. Can't say anything bad about them. Nothing at all whatsoever. But I've never been approached. I've never been asked. And something tells me I won't. But, hey, never say never, right? Anyway. Before I go any further, I got to give you a couple of programming notes, very important programming notes. First off, tomorrow on the live stream, I should be making the announcement as far as these shows and the network that I signed a deal with. This Saturday, AEW Full Gear's pay-per-view recap will likely be the first episode I do in my new home. So I should be able to announce it tomorrow. We had a big meeting today and basically dotted the I's, crossed the T's, basically what I need to do. I will tell you this, and trust me, if anybody that's been following me for a while, when they said, oh, maybe you could collaborate with some of the other shows, I looked at that and I said, oh, this is going to be interesting. Some people know exactly why I'm doing that. We're going to have fun, man. I'm enjoying the ride. I hope you enjoy it with me. It's going to be great. Now, what does this have to do with programming notes? Originally, I was going to do the Don Tony show this week instead of Saturday, since Full Gear is going to be on. I was going to do the Don Tony show Friday night. The new company asked me not to do any show on Friday because they need about 24 hours to move all my current shows over to their server. And if I start adding files, you know, it might screw things up. They don't want me to touch my server at all. So Friday night, I'm not doing nothing. Saturday night, I will be here right after AEW Full Gear for a recap. And look, if nothing is going on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening and you guys want me to come back for an extra day just to talk about whatever, we'll hang out on Sunday a little bit. Not guaranteed. Not sure if it's even needed, but that's the deal. Also, Thanksgiving week, I will be taking a little mini vacation. I will be gone from Thursday morning very early until Sunday afternoon, which means no Q&A live stream on that Thursday, no Don Tony show on that Saturday, and no Survivor Series pay-per-view recap until that Sunday. So I'm basically going away for three reasons. One, because I haven't missed a show since April, and we've done about 150 episodes since April. Number two, you know, basically to rest and recharge and celebrate, you know, where the shows are going. And number three, it's going to be the two-year anniversary that I got engaged. So we're going to basically spend some quality time together. So there's your programming notes. Tomorrow, if you want to join me here at 10:05 p.m., we'll have a lot of fun. In fact, tonight we're supposed to give away another Moxley book. So I will do that in a few minutes. We will pick someone from last week. Remember, you had to do the hashtag Mox. We'll pick somebody random right on the show, and whoever wins it gets the book. And in case people think I won't ship it outside the United States, two people that won books already don't live in the U.S., and I took good care of them. So we'll do that in a little bit. One last thing. Garth Overstein. He is the one that won this, this, and this last week. And he said, DT, you know, I'm good. No need to give me the photos. So I still have this in my possession. So what I am going to do is I already got in touch with someone in NXT. And I am going to be sending these three photos out to their office. Mandy Rose, I think she will. She's going to sign it, and they're going to send it back to me, and then we will be able to give these away in the future autographed. So I already have somebody working on the Toxic Attraction triple sign photos. That's going to take a little extra time. But, you know, I told them, look, I'm not going to sell the photos on eBay. I want to give them away. So I'm going to ship them out tomorrow, and that's pretty much it. So anyway, all right, so how'd you like Max Caster's rap tonight? Right away, you got these weird men, especially men, getting triggered again. Last week, Jericho cracks the joke of, you know, that I can't remember her name right now from America's Top Team. Because Jericho insinuates, you know, because she said, I'll take on all five of you. So Jericho, with a little tongue-in-cheek humor, and people get offended online. When are you going to realize AEW curses, says a lot of very adult-oriented insults. They've been doing it for 2 years. That's one of the reasons why it's TV-14 and not TV-PG. But whenever it comes to insulting a woman, you get this group of men online that, and I'm not saying this to be like bullying, but if you ever notice the ones that are big AEW fans that only get offended when you crack a joke about a female, go look at their profile, because I think every single person that I've clicked on their profile, with the exception of one, has no sign of any relationship. I don't care if you date a guy or a girl or both. I don't care what your preference is. But I notice it's usually single men. And the only thing I could think of is that they want attention from other people online. Not saying they're looking for a date out of it, but it's just an odd dynamic going on in social media land. So tonight, Max Caster, and I typed it, so I said it perfectly. He is cutting a promo on Jungle Boy because Jungle Boy is going to take on Anthony Bowens tonight. Max Caster in his promo says, and I quote, "You're so progressive. I got to empathize. Cause you leave your girl alone with seven guys." Oh, oh. Right away. What does that mean? Seven guys. What is she, a slut? No, it's the fucking Dark Order, nitwits. Oh, man. Triggered. Triggered. They're watching AEW. How many times you see this? And they call... Oh, man. What's wrong with these people? Just enjoy the fucking show. You mean to tell me you've never watched like any of these fast and not believable Fast and Furious, and you look at all these movies and they cut jokes and sexually perverted ones at times, and they curse and there's violence. And that's all good. But God forbid a tongue-in-cheek humor towards a female. Totally off limits. Unbelievable. By the way, is it just me? But Jim Ross, I let it go. He called Brian Danielson Daniel Bryan tonight. It's force of habit. I do it. We all do it. But I got a kick out of a line that he said tonight. He said, "Everybody, don't wait till the last minute to order full gear. Order it now." And I was saying to myself, why? Is it going to sell out? What does that even mean? He's telling everybody, make sure you order full gear now. Don't wait till the last minute to order it. Why not? Why not? Truth of the matter is, if I could watch it for free or offer someone, I'll watch it for free. So yeah, I'll wait till the last minute. And if I can't find anybody to watch it for free, I'll buy it. I've purchased almost every AEW pay-per-view in existence, with the exception of, I think, two. I've given a lot of money to AEW. And honestly, I get nothing but entertainment in return, and that's all they owe me. But, you know, we don't get nothing extra. We don't even get promo codes from Fight. Promo codes. Why? Because I have to say, could you please give us a couple of promo codes to give away on the show? All right, this is not necessarily Wednesday Night Dynamite related. No worries, I got you. Ruben Carrion, how do I feel about YouTube hiding the dislike button? I love it. I love it. I love it. Because you know what goes on here, and a lot of you out there that tune in every week already know that I have some bitter babies out there that absolutely can't stand the fact that the shows are getting bigger, they're getting better, and, you know, a lot of people are bitter because of past stuff that have gone on. And the funny thing is, most of them subscribe. And what happens is, the minute I announce that I'm going to be posting a show or doing a show live, they hit the dislike button. Couple of people on my old Discord channel. I still own half that Discord channel, and I wouldn't implode it or do anything dickish because Mish owns the other half, and I would never screw him over unless he screwed me over, which he would never do. But I call it Manhattan Island, the old channel, because you remember Escape from New York, the movie from like 1981? Manhattan Island is where all the derelicts were shipped to so they could just rot. And honestly, not everybody on the old Discord channel, but there's a lot of people on the old Discord channel should just rot. They're just derelicts and have to put everything down. I wrote earlier today, you know, look at the tweet I wrote about whiners. You know, just look at the whiner tweet. I mean, all they do is whine, complain, rip, shoot everything down, bitter this, this sucks, this, instead of just talking about other things that are great. So there's people over there because we caught them. One time I posted the link only in the Discord channel, and I had the setting on YouTube, not public, but by invite only. So the only people on the Discord channel saw the link. And there was five people on at that time. And literally within 30 seconds, there was three dislikes. So I know three of those five people did it. So the point is, by removing that dislike button, what are these bitter babies going to do now? Super chat an insult to me? No problem. I'll enjoy the cup of coffee, you know, and let them insult all they want. And for the people out there that have podcasts that are going to see this, that think, oh, it doesn't, you know, like show honesty, like you have no way of telling, like, if your show is good or not. Yeah, you know how you tell if your show is good? Based on how many people that tune in, period. So, you know, there's a lot of people out there that just out of jealousy will just dislike people's videos. I'm guarantee you a lot of people tuning in right now deal with that. And I got news for you, you know, especially with mental health. And believe me, I don't believe a lot of what YouTube says, but I do believe this one, especially when it comes to mental health. You all know with a lot of these wrestling podcasts out there, you see a lot of the people that do these podcasts. I mean, you see it, and it's basically just a wrestling fan, you know, being a wrestling fan and trying to get a little bit of attention out of it. And you see them and you know, that it's not a good show at all, but they're allowed to do it. And people take it seriously. And a couple of little insults, that devastates some people. It devastates some people. I mean, you see on social media, one person files a complaint against someone or makes a complaint, and the person gets triggered and can't do nothing but talk about that person for a week. So hitting the dislike button just to be a dick, nah, I'm glad it's gone. Seriously, I'm glad it's gone. So, anyway, but thank you for that. Thank you for that super chat. Crazy Cruiserweight. Oh, Courtney Summers, much love. Crazy Cruiserweight always gives us the spoilers for main event. Tonight, with the $2 super chat, thank you very much, my friend. AEW Rampage results. No, he's a main event guy. I'm supposed to do this. Rampage Friday, obviously it's the last AEW show before Full Gear, the night before Full Gear. Don't expect anything major to be going down on Rampage related to the pay-per-view. That's why you got Matt Hardy versus Orange Cassidy. That's why you got Bobby Fish versus Jungle Boy. And listen, for everybody out there fantasizing an Undisputed Era reunion in AEW, you know, when they force the topic that Bobby Fish is being a mercenary for the Elite tonight. And yes, we did have a cool backstage segment with Adam Cole and Bobby Fish and the Young Bucks all together. And the Young Bucks with the quote saying, you know, there is no dispute here. There is no dispute with the Elite in AEW. You know, it's a little play on words with undisputed, no dispute. So I liked it. But listen, when they kept saying Bobby Fish is going to be a mercenary, he's going to take out Jungle Boy for the pay-per-view. If anybody's been watching wrestling for a long time, you know that when someone is going to face somebody on a pay-per-view and the heel tries to get someone to take that person out right before the pay-per-view, they usually fail. So Bobby Fish is going to fail on Friday. The only question at this point is, will the Undisputed Era turn on Bobby Fish for not getting the job done? That is the question about Friday. So, mercenary my ass. And let me also say this tonight, and I'm not trying to be a wise ass about this. Chaos, 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 chaos. Forbidden Door, chaos. Okada, Okada, chaos, chaos. Okada, Okada. Yuta, chaos. Chris Statlander, chaos. Rocky Romero, chaos. Orange Cassidy, chaos. Okada, chaos. Okada, Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door. Okada, chaos. Are you annoyed yet? If I took a shot every time Forbidden Door, Okada, or chaos was mentioned tonight, I'd be blitzed beyond belief. Okada must like losers. How do you talk about Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door, Okada, 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 chaos? Because Okada took best friends, which is now turning into best friends and family because suddenly three turned into six. Okada made them members of Chaos, New Japan. Why would you do that? To have Rocky Romero tap out to Bryan Danielson? Why would you have Wheeler Yuta squash like a grape to Wardlow? Why would you have Matt Hardy almost break Orange Cassidy's neck? Okada must like losers. All the members that became part of Chaos tonight got their asses kicked, except for Chris Statlander. And something tells me Chris Statlander is not going to get past Ruby Soho. Jungle Jack Perry is dating Anna Jay, I believe, for Ken terminated by DQ. By the way, yeah, you're welcome. You know, it is funny because I posted this on Twitter tonight, and I did a little search afterwards about 20 minutes later, and I saw like 15 tweets follow it almost word for word. Not one of them, you know, mentioned that I had posted it, which is all good. I'm used to that since 2002. But for those that were asking tonight if Dax Harwood and Pac ever faced each other before, I went and did my history, my research with WWE and NXT. And believe it or not, Dax Harwood's NXT debut, his debut match, which was in March of 2013 as Scott Dawson, he actually teamed up with Judas Devlin in a handicap match. And who did they face? Adrian Neville, better known as Pac. So yes, Dax's NXT debut, he took on Pac. So for everybody that was curious about that, because a lot of people were asking tonight, I did a little research and I checked it. I checked it twice. So it's pretty cool, pretty cool. So tonight, you know, we'll recap AEW Dynamite briefly, NXT briefly, like we did last Wednesday. Everybody loved the new format. There is no reason to get into every little detail of every little match. And tonight is definitely going to be one of those nights that we should be done by 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Right now, it's 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Before I get into the recaps, seriously, now you know my love and appreciation for Eddie Kingston. When he was in NWA, that's when a lot of you out there started to take notice of the guy. And even before that, on older episodes of stuff I've done, we would on and off talk about, he was never on everybody's radar. He's never on everybody's radar. But I'm going to say something now that might sound a little bit wacky, but the more I think about it, it kind of has some similarities. Is Eddie Kingston this generation's Eddie Guerrero? Now, I'm not saying with a tragic ending. I'm not saying with a tragic ending. But is Eddie Kingston this current generation's Eddie Guerrero? A guy, you know, part Latino, but a guy who has his share of demons and really had a lot of issues. I think Eddie Kingston, you know, some of his demons were much different than Eddie Guerrero's, but someone who really never intended to be in the level or in the position that he's in, and someone who was turned into someone. No, please, I'm not comparing wrestling ability. I'm talking about a story of someone who battled, never thought to become like a main event, and who knows, Eddie Kingston may end up becoming heavyweight champion down the line. The problem with Eddie Kingston is I believe he's already 38 years old. So that's the one thing he has against him. But Eddie Kingston, everybody, for the most part, has really fallen in love with this guy and just really pushing this guy. And this is someone who has publicly admitted to a lot of demons, a lot of demons. So Benjamin, again, you're looking at Eddie Guerrero as far as his in-ring work, his wrestling ability, his look. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the backdrop, the story. Someone who was talented but had a lot of obstacles in a way. And at one point, their wrestling career, listen, when Eddie Guerrero got released from WWE back in the day, he wrestled here in the Northeast on the indie circuit maybe like one or two times, maybe three at the most. A lot of people thought, this guy, you know, too many issues with substance abuse. This guy has the potential of becoming a big star, you know, and just, you know, that's going to get in the way. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying the backdrop, please. Maybe I shouldn't have even brought it up because people are going to immediately think about the physique. They're immediately going to think about the in-ring wrestling ability. They're going to immediately think about the moveset. I'm not talking about any of that. So my recommendation to those out there who have not read the article yet, check out the Players' Tribune. Go on Google if you don't even know what I'm talking about. Go check out the Players' Tribune and go read the article that Eddie Kingston wrote a couple of days ago called Got No Business Fucking Being Here. Read all of that. And then in the comment section, tell me, you know, And it's the Eddie chance as well. Tell me if there's an inspirational story that kind of, because look, for newer fans out there, there was a point where Eddie Guerrero was not over with the fans. And there was quite a long time that he got Eddie Sucks chance. And trust me, it was not the same as fans going to Daniel Bryan. No, no, no. You know, at that time, if people are honest, they will tell you they never in a million years ever expected Eddie Guerrero to be one of the most beloved wrestlers in recent history. And I'm just saying, Eddie Kingston, that inspirational story and how real and raw it is and how he's got this crazy-ass support. I think if you read that article and you hear a little bit more behind the scenes, you might see a little bit of comparisons there. So, anyway, go read that article because it's very, very powerful from Eddie Kingston. I wish the guy would write a book. I wish he would write a book. That's how good it is. I have not read the Moxley book yet. There's been so much stuff going on this week. So, Willie G, I'm going to do predictions tonight for Full Gear. So I'm not going to answer yet as far as CM Punk and Eddie Kingston. So we'll definitely do that in a little bit. And by the way, I absolutely, if you didn't read the article with Eddie Kingston yet, I love him bringing up Larry Sweeney. So if some of you out there that have no idea who Larry Sweeney is, go look that up and just look how that unfortunately ended. He took his life. He passed away, took his life. So Larry Sweeney is a name that maybe some of you out there don't recognize, but Larry Sweeney, in death, you know, you realize he tried to help a lot of others. In fact, some people think he helped others before he helped himself, and that might have been his downfall. So, all right. So, let me get into one last thing here. And you know what? Let me put my little timestamps, because everybody loves the timestamps now. The more I do the timestamps, the easier it is for you to navigate. Bryan Danielson did a very interesting interview with Ariel Helwani on the MMA Hour. You know, yes, it's about MMA, but, you know, you see, how you get away with a wrestler being on the MMA Hour is if they have an MMA background or aspiring to be an MMA guy, that's how you could do it. But if you have someone on there that was never an MMA guy, you know, you just have the wrestler say, look, you know, I would have loved to have been an MMA guy, but, you know, I could have never been able to do this and this and that. Or, you know, in the case with some wrestlers like Bryan Danielson, some MMA work inspires them to do some moves as well. So you had Bryan Danielson on the MMA Hour. No, Bryan Danielson is not doing any MMA. Let me just get that clear now. Bryan Danielson revealed that he signed a 3-year deal with AEW. So he will be with AEW for the next, you know, a little more than two and a half years. Now, thank you, George McFly. Thank you, my friend. Thank you for the kind words. By the way, for everybody who's live tonight, much love. Thank you for hanging out with me tonight. If you're checking it out on the replay, thank you as well. Much appreciated. I really mean that. So, I don't have any transcripts in front of me. When you watch something and you put all your attention to that topic or what you're watching, you know, you remember the points that are important. And I wanted to bring up one aspect of Bryan Danielson's interview tonight that I think you will find interesting. You may agree with him. You may disagree with him. I unfortunately disagree with Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson talked about the WWE releases. Bryan Danielson professed once again his love for Vince McMahon. Bryan Danielson then talks about WWE corporate. Bryan Danielson brings up a very smart point. It might sound familiar because you've heard me say this for the last 2 weeks with the WWE releases. Welcome to the world of working with a billion-dollar publicly traded company. And Bryan Danielson, talking to Ariel Helwani, was talking about how corporate America, and he disagrees and finds it wrong that a corporation gets rewarded for firing people, for releasing people. And I know that all sounds all emotional and, yeah, man, you shouldn't be rewarded for that. My question is, and I throw it out there because Ariel Helwani would never have done it, and most people would never do it. Well, Bryan Danielson, when you signed with WWE and then got fired from WWE and then you signed again with WWE, they were a billion-dollar publicly traded company. Why work for a billion-dollar publicly traded company if that's how the stock market works? When the bottom line is record profits and you're trimming payroll because you're an entertainment company and you're showing your investors that, hey, we don't need 100 wrestlers to satisfy the fans. We could do 30 or 40 and get the job done and save all that money. Oh, investors love that. The stock goes up. Why work for a company? Oh, I love Vince McMahon, but I hate the corporate part of it. Then why work for it in the first place? Everybody is fine with it when you're getting the paycheck. For some reason, when you're no longer getting the paycheck, it's the evil billion-dollar corporation. And I'm not sticking up for WWE. I don't know if I would ever want to work for a billion-dollar corporation unless I owned it, for real. But, you know, I will agree with this. Bryan Danielson said that WWE went on a huge hiring spree when AEW first established themselves, and he feels that WWE decided AEW can't sign all these people. So they started trimming big time. That I agree with him. But again, you bring in Nick Khan and you see what they were doing with the WWE offices, that should have been the message immediately, like, uh-oh. Why do they need 100 people? Remember WCW? If any of you out there that are older like me, you remember WCW and how they were keeping people under contract simply so they would not go to Vince McMahon? When the AOL Time Warner merger happened and WCW went out of business, look at all the wrestlers that did not jump to WWF right away. Why? Because they sat at home and collected a crazy-ass paycheck. If anybody that goes back with me with the Mass Maniac, when I was friends with Bam Bam Bigelow, God rest his soul. You know, Bam Bam Bigelow back then ran into some big financial problems and wanted me to go on eBay and auction off all his collectible stuff. A lot of you already know that story. But Bam Bam Bigelow was getting paid like $300,000 just to sit at home. And unfortunately, while he was working with WCW before he went out of business, he was sending the money home to his ex-wife. And his ex-wife was, to quote that song, she took the money and run. Yeah, she took the money and run. Queen, well, not Queen. What's the group that sang that song, Take the Money and Run? But he came home and found no money. And then, you know, his wife left, and Bam Bam Bigelow was left with almost nothing. So, but WCW had crazy-ass people on. Steve Miller Band, thank you, Darren, and a brain fart. Steve Miller Band. How could I forget? My favorite song, Abracadabra. I Want to Reach Out and Grab You. Would that fly in 2021? You imagine me in a bar, and I'm in a rock club. I'm like, Abra, Abra, Cadabra. I want to reach out and grab you. I don't think that would fly in 2021. Yeah, Darren's probably old like me, but WCW hoarded tons of people also. And then went out of business, and they're like, oh my God, we got to pay all these fuckers to sit at home. Nobody really wanted to take a buyout. You know, some wrestlers did because they wanted to work and maybe make more money. So I'm in agreement with Brian Danielson that WWE hired way too many people. Absolutely. But, you know, remember what I said last week, that I guarantee you within the next couple of months, you're going to see new people with that gray WWE Performance Center shirt on. Oh, the newest signees. And then they're going to throw a couple of them on TV, see if shit sticks with them, and then you'll see some of the others released like you do in NXT. And by the way, I want to bring this up right now. War Games. I can't do it like William Regal. NXT War Games. It is returning December 5th. I'm going to tell you, because I tell you straight out, we talked about NXT last week with the releases. And I pointed out, how much money does WWE make off of NXT? From the merchandise, from the pay-per-view revenue, from the ticket sales. How much money do they make from NXT? To quote Tony D'Angelo, well, he hasn't said this yet. They make guts. They make guts. They don't make nothing. They make guts. That's what they make off of NXT. They make guts. So, with that said, if you make very little money off of NXT, why are you going to invest a lot of money in NXT by having people on the payroll that make 200 grand? Right? Think about that. So, NXT War Games is going to take place December 5th, 2021. It will be available on Peacock, and I don't know if it's going to be available on the regular network as well, but I know it's going to be available on Peacock. Now, some people are trying to make controversy that the word takeover was taken out of the name. I want to make this very clear. And the reason why I'm being straight up with you, well, one reason is I'm always straight up with you, but I'm not going to add drama to the removal of the word takeover just to get attention and just for us to say, fuck you, Vince. Another reason why. The reason why they took the word takeover out of War Games. Get ready, everybody. I don't have a drum roll sound effect here. You ready for this? Because NXT is a developmental territory once again. NXT War Games is not going to be on the level of War Games from WCW, from War Games of yesteryear. Oh, this is not War Games. No. We got to give this away. It's autographed by everybody. We got to give this away. It's been sitting here. Look, it's got the WWE COA. We got to give this away. Maybe we'll give it away next week. But that's the reason why. It's developmental. Less pressure. When you go back and you look at takeovers, the developmental, trying to build stars, this is not part of it. That's why they removed the word takeover. Takeover, will the name return down the line? I don't know. People insist to keep treating NXT like it's the brand it was before. It is developmental. It is like OVW. It is like Heartland. It is like Florida Championship Wrestling. That's what it's about. They don't want people to compare takeovers of yesteryear to this. There's going to be wrestlers on the card that are not going to be very good. There's going to be wrestlers on the card that some people are going to say, the fuck you got this person on this fucking card for? It's a War Games. The fuck you putting these people on? Are you kidding me? These people on War Games? The fuck you doing? They're trying to minimize it. Less pressure on the wrestlers. They're trying to build for tomorrow. That is the truth. That is the truth. I'm sorry if it doesn't get me 1,000 likes. I'm sorry if it doesn't get me the emotional fuck you Vince tweets. That is the truth. So I wanted to just get that out there so everybody knows the truth. Like I said, people still insist on making Triple H the victim, the clown, the outsider. He should form his own promotion and stick it to Vince McMahon. Tell me when Triple H was not part of the machine. Triple H founded NXT. Triple H has been in corporate since 2010. Nothing has changed other than issues with his heart. Why does everybody think that suddenly, you know, when they have the meetings, Triple H, no, you just stay in the bathroom. Go massage your chest. Why do people insist that? You see, because you know why? When people out there think, if they say it enough, it becomes true. Think of COVID. Think of dumb shit with Trump. I used to be a big Trump supporter. I don't care about politics at all anymore. I could care less. How many people? Oh, no, I won't get the vaccine. It caused fertility problems. Well, I think like millions and millions of babies have been born in over the last 9 months. That when people got pregnant after being vaccinated, and I haven't heard any reports of, you know, anybody being born looking like Von Wagner. And I'm not making fun of Von Wagner. He just looks like he's perfect for a horror film. You know, but you say it enough, people believe it. Triple H is not an outsider. None of the investors that invest tens of millions of dollars at a company, none of them are in a conference call. What's going on with Paul? We keep hearing on Tom's Hick Wrestling Sports Skeeta, shitskeeta.com, that Triple H is on the outs. This is the CFO, the owner of the, what's going on? You know, should we be worried about Paul? Shane McMahon wants nothing to do with WWE. Vince is 98 years old. If Paul's on the outs, that just leaves Stephanie. How come tens of millions of dollars being invested? None of these millionaires and billionaires are questioning Paul, because that's what they call him, Paul Levesque. Answer that to me. But Sam's SchmuckinSlams.com insists that Triple H is a clown. Don't buy into it, everyone. Don't buy into it. Why you feel bad for Triple H? The only reason why you should feel bad for Triple H right now is because he's got heart issues. That's the only reason. Oh, because he points at Stars of Tomorrow. Because he's like an uncle to them. He's like a godfather. It's always been business at the end of the day. Of course, Triple H has a personal, emotional investment in these wrestlers. Triple H is a friend to them. Triple H is an uncle to them. Triple H cares about these wrestlers. There is a personal, intimate connection. When Triple H is posing with these wrestlers, he believes in them. He believes in them. But why does everybody think that, oh, because he's so nice to them that he's not part of the corporate machine? Tell me why. From 2010 to 2020, nobody questioned it at all. Why all of a sudden? No one could give that answer. Again, if the investors aren't questioning it, why are you? Why are you? Because angrywrestlingfan.com tells you 100,000 times that it is? Just think common sense. Just think common sense. Remember the Saudi fiasco where they were held up there at the airport? And you remember all these morons on these wrestling news sites? They're being held against their will. That there's a lot of concern. There's a lot of this. CNN didn't cover it. MSNBC didn't cover it. Fox News didn't cover it. ABC, CBS. Well, nobody covered it. Why? But because one PWSpyware.net schmuck.com covered it, that we're supposed to believe it. Just use common sense and you could pretty much figure out most of this. So, let's give the Moxley book away. This will only take a couple of seconds. Like we said last weekend, you know, I got a couple extra books, so we can actually give away two more this week. So if you want to win one of the Moxley books, after the show is over in the comment section, post whatever you want, and then after your comment, just put hashtag Mox, M-O-X. The next week live, I will randomly pick two people from the comments that were posted related to this episode, and whoever gets picked wins the books. Very simple. So tonight we're going to give away a book, and what I'm going to do, just and this will take literally 30 seconds, is I am going to pull up last week's episode. You could look at it on the screen. And just so you know, this is not pre-recorded. I will put Leo in the comment on the top, Leo Rush, Power Ranger, because everybody thought that Leo Rush and Dante Martin looked like a Power Ranger. So you can see this is real. It's live. And I don't think they look like Power Rangers. I will say something else about Leo Rush in a moment. But let's pick the winner. So over here on the left, I'm going to click where it says pick a winner. And the comment from last week was had to have in it, hashtag M-O-X. So now when I click that green button, it's going to randomly pick somebody from last week. And the winner is Wombology. Ah, John Moxley's a strong man. He'll pull through. Absolutely. I think Tony Khan gave an update that Mox is doing good. So Wombology, you won the book. So just reach out to me, Twitter, email, and very soon. Yeah, Wombology is here. Aye, he's in the chat. So Wombology. And, you know, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, you do not have to be live to claim your prize. I did that a couple of months ago, and I realized that that's not a good idea. Not everybody wants to stay up super late to claim a prize. So, you know, you have a week to claim it. But since Wombology's here, he's got the book. Next week, we'll give away two more. And like I said, because I know most of you out there, male and female, don't mind looking at this one more time. I am going to be sending these photos out tomorrow to NXT with a little note. Hi, it's Anthony DeBlasi. You know, the guy you tried to sue many, many years ago over ECW. But I have three Mandy photos that I would very much appreciate if she could sign. And I have included a self-stamped envelope that you could put them in. And I promise you, I ensure that they will not be sold on eBay, but instead they will be given away to three Mandy Rose fans on my show. And if I could do anything in return for your generosity, I just let me know. That's pretty much what the letter's going to say. So we will see. So no more Mandy Rose photos for tonight, everybody. Mystery Man says, Grandpa Meltzer says Triple H will never wrestle again after the heart issue. Well, that might be true. Sure, that might be true. My mom's got to go in for an angiogram and two other, like, procedures on Monday. You know, we're a little rattled from that. But, you know, I mean, you know, we don't know the extent of his heart. And honestly, why take the chance? Why take the chance with Triple H? You know, he's a very important part of WWE, despite everyone out there wants to put clown makeup on him. Why take the chance for one match? And I don't care if it's the Crown Prince. Hunter, we want DX. We want D-Generation X. Suck it. No. No need for him to wrestle again, in my opinion. I hope he's okay too, man. I feel bad that people insist on belittling, you know, what he has done. Sure. I I'll say it 1,000 times over. The guy cares. The guy cares about the people who he works with. I mean, you should have, shouldn't employers have managers or people in their company that do really care about the well-being of the people who they, people that work under them? So that should be, that should not be the abnormal, you know, but when people are let go, you know, it's business. It is business. And if you want to take one step further and you want to be devil's advocate about it, when do we blame Triple H? That maybe Triple H is building some people's careers in NXT that are only suited for small crowds, for small promotions. Maybe some people are not being molded to become big, huge WWE superstars. You know? I mean, you look at some people, I mean, come on, let's be honest. Let's be honest. Kyle O'Reilly. I have sung the praise for Kyle O'Reilly for a long time. And up until a couple of months ago, you know, most people out there, oh, he's not even a Marty Jannetty, Kyle O'Reilly. Look at him. He looks like a goof where he's an Orange Cassidy ripoff. I'm watching people saying all this. So who the fuck is going to watch or pay for Kyle O'Reilly to be in a main event? Kyle O'Reilly? Are you kidding me? Now all of a sudden, because Bobby Fish and Adam Cole are in AEW, oh my God, Undisputed Era, they can feud with Luchasaurus. A past his prime Christian, Jungle Boy, which I have no problems with, and a dinosaur. That's what you preferred over what this motherfucker has done for the last 3-4 years, whatever it is. You kidding me? Who do you think he's going to wrestle in AEW? Who that? You know, Nick Camarato? Some people are weird, man. Some people are weird. You know, it's funny when you go on people's profiles, you go on advanced Twitter search and you type in names and you see there's mysteriously no tweets, because what they do is all the insults that they gave to people. Leo Rush is a great example. Leo Rush tonight, he fucking killed it. Him and Dante Martin are supposed to be the heels in this. And Leo Rush was getting standing ovations. And believe me, the fans were not doing that simply because, oh, this is for grandmama. This is for grandmama. No, he fucking killed it today. The crowd cheered him and Dante Martin after the match was over. That match was banging. And I immediately went on 3 profiles tonight, advanced Twitter search, Leo Rush, just to be reminded of all the insults about Leo Rush, the problem child that he was. And 2 of the 3, weird, pretty weird. I know I spelled their Twitter handles correct. I know I'm not blocked or banned because they don't even know that I follow their accounts. And weird. Seems like they've never tweeted about Leo Rush, because when I click advanced search and I, you know, use today's date as the last date and then the beginning date, I go to like 1915 just to make sure I don't leave any Twitter time out. And there's no Leo Rush tweets. Gee, I wonder why. Because they deleted them. Because suddenly, you know, all the knocking of this guy. And that'll happen with Kyle O'Reilly. It'll happen with Johnny Gargano. It'll happen with anybody that has been in NXT for a while, that if they go to AEW, suddenly all the old bashing got erased. All right. All right. Let's talk a little bit more about AEW tonight. Very quickly, Bryan Danielson over Rocky Romero. The new member of Chaos, Chaos, Okada, Chaos, Chaos, Forbidden Door, Chaos, Okada, Chaos. I mean, I know myself and a bunch of others out there have been very vocal that Tony Khan was not the Forbidden Door. COVID was the Forbidden Door. And do you remember when I said back in April that by the end of 2021, and it is posted on a synopsis on like 5 episodes over the last 9 months or 8 months, by the end of 2021, that Forbidden Door will mysteriously close. Why? Why? Because, and I'll repeat it for those that don't remember it. A little over a year ago, I call them the five families. A little over a year ago, Tony Khan and Impact and NWA and a bunch of others, they all had conversations. Look, COVID is killing a lot of businesses. It's hurting wrestling. We can't do live shows. We can't tour like we used to. We have a lot of debt. We're not making revenue. We don't kill it in merchandise. You know, can we work together? You know, some wrestlers that we can't afford to pay, will you take AEW a little bit of the contract? We'll let you have them on your shows for a little bit. Maybe you can have one of our titles be defended on your show. And, you know, in return, you know, we can maybe do something on our show. And that's what was done. If COVID never happened, there would be no Forbidden Door. Right now is the proof of it. You know, they're talking about Rocky Romero and Chaos. Well, Rocky Romero is going to be on Impact Wrestling Thursday. I think he's going to be on Thursday. Rocky Romero is going to be on five different promotions as well. That's not a bad thing. Rocky Romero is pretty damn good. But when you start at breaking this down, let's be honest, Forbidden Door, my ass. So Chaos Kaiser, what happens? Rocky Romero loses to Bryan Danielson. The one thing that I loved about the match tonight, Bryan Danielson wins with the Tequila Sunrise. And I think Bryan Danielson mentioned this in an interview recently, that Bryan Danielson is purposely, I think, doing a different finisher in every match. And, you know, I haven't paid close attention to every match finisher that he's done in AEW. But if that's the case, that's pretty damn cool. Because if he beats Miro on Saturday, you know, obviously it's going to be a different finisher than what we had today or what we had last week or the week before. The match tonight was fun. You know, I didn't like the interaction with Orange Cassidy and Bryan Danielson. I don't know. For some reason, for me, it felt kind of flat. But Bryan Danielson with the win. And now AEW, you know, mentioning a million different ways to win a match. It's kind of like Dean Malenko. Remember Dean Malenko, a man of 1,000 holds? Bryan Danielson is kind of a man of 1,000 finishers. So I like it. I absolutely like it. We also had tonight America's Top Team. They attacked the Inner Circle. I don't remember which MMA guy it was. Did you see the guy beating up Jericho? Dark Order punching wind with Dustin Rhodes back in the day was more enjoyable because at least we got a good laugh out of it after. These MMA guys, you know, it was not very good. Look, Dan Lambert, we have talked about for a long time now. Dan Lambert gets under people's skin. A lot of people feel that Dan Lambert is doing what Jim Cornette should have been doing there. The thing is Jim Cornette, I don't think would be getting very physical in matches. But Dan Lambert, people just want, it's like a net. You just want to see him get hit in the bug zapper. So what happens tonight, Dan Lambert, with the help of Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page, he powerbombs Chris Jericho through a table. Then he puts the walls of Jericho on Jericho. And, you know, they're saying that Dan Lambert, he is going to beat Jericho on Saturday. I think that's the telltale sign that the opposite is going to happen. But still, the crowd, you listen to that crowd tonight. It was reminiscent of the Mr. McMahon chants with the asshole chants. You get a reaction like that, even though America's Top Team, the MMA people, I wish they would just go away. And I'm a little concerned about Saturday. I am and I'm not, because remember, it's a street fight. It's a Minneapolis street fight. Definition, we could just have a flat-out brawl so the MMA guys don't have to do many wrestling moves. You will see a lot of this. You will see a lot of this. By the way, my hand has really got fucked up from that burn the other day. You really can't see it, but it's all fucked up now. But the segment tonight, crowd was pissed off for the right reasons. For the right reasons. I was entertained tonight. I was entertained. Britt Baker, Rebel, and Jamie Hayter over They lost to Ty Conti, Anna Jay, and Thunder Rosa. You know, this match at times was all over the place. But, you know, I mean, let's be honest. Thunder Rosa coming off a little bit of a concussion. Anna Jay does not get as much work as she should. Ty Conti doesn't get as much work as she should. Rebel is Rebel. And, you know, Britt Baker, you know, a lot of her matches are very one-sided. But as the match went on, it got better and better and better. It ended up being a really fun match. And that dive off the top turnbuckle by Thunder Rosa onto Jamie Hayter outside the ring, pretty fucking, that looked good. She squashed Jamie Hayter. But in the end, Ty Conti is facing Britt Baker on Saturday. Ty Conti obviously getting the win today, and Britt Baker basically leaving Rebel hang out to dry because Ty Conti hits a finisher on Rebel. Britt Baker refuses to get back in the ring. Rebel gets pinned. So that's what we have leading into Saturday. And in case you're not aware, the buy-in match for Saturday is going to be Nyla Rose and Jamie Hayter versus Hikaru Shida and Thunder Rosa, which I'm fine with, but you know I would have liked a little bit continuation, Hikaru Shida and Serena Deeb, you know, unless Serena Deeb gets involved in the match, which could very well happen. Max Caster cutting that promo on Jungle Boy earlier. Pretty good. Pretty damn good. I am a fan of the Acclaimed. Anthony Bowens had a decent match with Jungle Boy. But as I said last week, you know, outside of a pay-per-view, and I ask for my live friends right now, outside of a pay-per-view, an Orange Cassidy beating Jericho, when was the last time that you truly felt that a wrestler got a surprise, a big surprise, very needed win on Dynamite? I mean, don't the outcomes seem extremely predictable? Did anybody out there think that Wheeler Yuta had a chance against Wardlow? Anybody think that Rocky Romero is going to beat Bryan Danielson? And he shouldn't, obviously, with a pay-per-view coming up. I don't think Sammy Guevara beating Miro was an upset. I think a lot of people expected Sammy Guevara to win. And you know what? Speaking of Sammy Guevara, I want to bring this up right now because this is something, and I actually did a social media search before I wrote it. And much to my surprise, nobody's ever written anything like this. Tonight, MJF cut a promo on Darby Allin. And MJF was talking about, you know, the young stars, the future stars of AEW. And MJF brought up how he always referenced four people, himself, Darby Allin, Sammy Guevara, and Jungle Boy. And it hit me tonight that if I was AEW and Tony Khan, I would take a page from the Yankees. Anybody out there who is a Yankees fan will immediately know why I say the term core four. Who were the core four for the Yankees at the time? It was Derek Jeter, Andy Pettit, Bernie Williams, and who was the fourth person? Jorge Posada. That was the core four of the Yankees. And that core four was the future of the Yankees. I think AEW should take a page from the Yankees and use the term core four. And use that phrase. It's different for wrestling. Yes, we've heard it for the Yankees, but I think that actually would be a huge selling point. The core four of AEW. Paul O'Neill was not part of the core four. Paul O'Neill was on the Cincinnati Reds up until the early 90s. He won a championship. Lou Piniella is the manager. Yes, I know my baseball history. And then he went over to the Yankees. And he kicked ass. Paul O'Neill was good, man. Freaking love. And I'm surprised at how good he is on commentary. But we'll save baseball for another day. But seriously, what do you think about that? Should AEW, you know, yes, I'm an outsider. Yes, I get no love from AEW, but we try to come up with good ideas. I think AEW should use the term core four for those four guys. I'm not saying to make them pose together. The last thing you want to do is have Darby Allin and MJF posing together for a poster. No, I wouldn't see that, but there's no reason why they can't reference them as the core four. One of the core four of AEW. So Jungle Boy beats Anthony Bowens tonight with the snare trap. Then Bobby Fish comes out and attacks him. And like I said, I immediately, for those that saw it, I went on Twitter. I said, oh, here comes the Rampage match for Friday. And nobody seemed to like care about it. Got no response. So I don't keep things up if it really gets no reaction. It's fine. Not everything I say makes sense. But once they announced the match for Rampage, I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, no. You're not going to like respond to it after they announced it. But again, remember what I said earlier. Just because Adam Cole and Bobby Fish had a segment together with the Young Bucks, don't bank on the fact that Bobby Fish is going to remain in the good graces with the Super Elite. It would make no sense for the Super Elite to beat up Bobby Fish when he fails on Friday against Jungle Boy, because Bobby Fish, the last couple of weeks, has, you know, made a direction scumbag, heel, asshole. So you don't want, because you know what's going to happen. If Adam Cole turns on Bobby Fish for failing, then you could have all these people on social media, give me Bobby Fish versus Adam Cole. Give me Adam Cole versus Bobby Fish. Give me Cole versus Fish, and then give me Fish versus Cole. That's what you'll see happen. So something tells me Bobby Fish will lose to Jungle Boy, and then the Super Elite or Adam Cole will hit the ring, start beating up on Jungle Boy, and Bobby Fish will suddenly disappear. He will swim down the rampway into the back, and they'll just leave it with the Super Elite, the Dinosaur, Jungle Boy, and Christian to battle it out, and then we'll have the Super Elite back off to head into Saturday. That's what's going to happen on Friday. That's the story. Benjamin, you watch how right I am. How right I am. Wardlow trying to set the AEW world record of power bombs in a match. Squashed the newest member of Chaos, Okada, Chaos, Forbidden Door, Chaos, Wheeler Utah. Squashed him like a grape. If I'm Okada in storyline, the fuck we do here? You know, my God. Shinsuke Nakamura, who's not even dead yet, is rolling in his grave. Look at Chaos. We put an alien who picks people's noses. We put three losers tonight. They're not losers, obviously, but not a good showing for the newest members of Chaos tonight. What stupid booking. Seriously, Chaos, Okada, Forbidden Door, Chaos, Okada. Yeah, just like Kenta. Kenta, oh my God, Kenta, Forbidden Door, Kenta, one match, done. Kenta, Forbidden Door, Kenta, oh my God, Kenta, main event, Dynamite, Kenta, one match, gone. That's not Forbidden Door. That's Revolving Door. That is Revolving Door. Leo Rush and Dante Martin beat Matt Sydal and Lee Moriarty. Am I wrong? Seriously, I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm a huge fan of AEW, but let's keep things in a little perspective here. Leo Rush and Dante Martin over Matt Sydal and Lee Moriarty. I didn't take photo screenshots of tonight's show, but I did take one photo from tonight, and it was this one. I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it to be funny. No, I have no problem with their outfits. I know everybody out there. Power Rangers. I had no problem with their outfits. You cannot see it here because whoever posted this screenshot doesn't even own a 720p TV. This is not high definition. And I don't think I could really zoom in all that much. But if you go back and you watch their introduction, I couldn't help but in 1080p 4K TV, notice something, and I was, go back and you watch it. I'm like, wow, you know, Leo Rush had an interesting package tonight, and I'm not talking about video. Go look when they first came down to the ring. I mean, honestly, see, I have a dark shirt on, so I can't do it, but it looked like this. It looked like this sticking out. I'm serious. Leo Rush, I think, is hung like a... Is that... No, wait. Hung like a hamster means little pee-pee. That's podcast pee-pee. Leo Rush, man. See, this is Leo Rush. Hold on. This is Leo Rush. This is Leo Rush. Hey, where's my match? Here's Leo Rush. I should have wore a light shirt. Seriously. This is Leo Rush tonight. Hey, we're gonna win the match tonight. He's hung like a horse. I'm sorry. Look, I like my M&Ms without peanuts, but I'm telling you, I'm not bullshitting. Go back and watch their entrance walking down the ring, and when they're just posing for a second, just pause it, and you'd be like, oh, my God. It looked like he didn't have any underwear on. Just being honest, man. Being honest. They killed it. Joe D, that's the first thing I saw. When you're wearing white, let me put it like this. I had a white Lincoln Mark 7. I had a white LSC back in the day. And the one thing I hated about having a white LSC is because you get the slightest amount of dirt on the car, it stands out like a sore thumb. So you have all white outfit, and then you got Mr. Salami right behind an all white outfit. If you're wearing a black outfit, it may stand out a little bit. Like if you ever watch Finn Balor when he has his entrance and he's on the top rope and he goes back like this, you know, it looks like somebody is trying to come out to play. But when you have a white outfit and you do that, and it doesn't matter if you're white skin or dark skin or anything, it has nothing to do with that. But you wear a white outfit and you got that, go back and watch it. I'm telling you. I'm dead serious. I'm not joking, man. Go look. They tore it up, though. That was my favorite match of the night. Pac and Dax in a close second, but they tore it up. And listen, man, Lee Moriarty, he might be a cult favorite with hardcore AEW fans. That's pretty obvious. Just like Fuego del Sol, who was 0-199, and I'm exaggerating. But Lee Moriarty, man, that guy is a lot better than I thought he was. And they tore it up tonight. And when I said a couple of weeks ago that AEW has to pull back and not give us pay-per-view quality dynamites because you just get a burnout too quick, this is a perfect example of it. And I know a lot of people get angered when I talk about TVPG. Trust me. In the 80s, when we had Piper and everybody else, it was TVPG. TVPG can be good. I'm not saying that AEW should become TVPG, but my point is that when everybody wants to compare WWE programming to AEW programming, I remind everyone, WWE is rated TVPG. It is kid-friendly. AEW is TV-14. Yes, there are a lot of parents out there that still will not let their kids watch TV-14. So at some point, AEW might have to consider having some programming that can be TV-PG, so more viewers, more demo. Listen, this is why I don't talk about demos. And we'll throw it out there right now to make people look stupid. Just because they have blue check marks doesn't mean they're smarter. If your demo, if your product is designed to be for older fans and your demo is not dominating the young fans like the 12 and up, well, maybe that's because WWE is directed towards more 12-year-olds and AEW is not. So maybe AEW is more of a teenager and a young adult product and WWE is more kids and old people too. You look at it like that, it kind of makes sense a little bit. Was Dante Martin and Leo Rush versus Matt Sydal and Lee Moriarty. Was that TV PG or was it TV 14? It was TV PG. Unless you looked at the package, you know? I mean, that's an example of regular wrestling that knocks it out of the park. They killed it. They killed it. Awesome match. Really enjoyed it. Dax losing the pack. That match also, I tell you, FTR, one thing that is fabulous about FTR, and we saw it with the Young Bucks, and we see it with their interaction with the Lucha Bros. It's funny how people turned on Kalisto and Aerostar in 1 week, which is a shame, which is a shame. But when you look at FTR, they really can hang with luchadors. And they're not high flyers. That is really, really something to appreciate. Because when high flyers, Lucha Libre, can clash with, you know, ground game, no flips, just fists, that is something special. And Pac is more of an aerial guy. He is very physical also with his ground game, with his kicks and his punches, but Pac is very high-flying as well. They tore it up tonight. And this, I think, is their first ever one-on-one. I mentioned earlier that they faced each other in 13, but that was a handicap match. But they tore it up. You know, it kind of sucked that Dax lost, but he tapped out quick, and then to divert, you know, attention, oh, you know, we'll have all these people interfere, and then Cody gets involved, Andrade gets involved, Malachi Black gets involved, and now we have another match added to Full Gear. Cody and Pac versus Malachi Black. Cody and Pac versus Andrade and Black. They now have a tag team match at Full Gear. I'll tell you, from top to bottom, man, this card is stacked. Big time stacked. So, then the contract signing. And, you know, also I want to point out, I think, one big mistake that AEW made tonight. I had no problem with the promo exchange between Ruby Soho and Chris Statlander. But it's not a match on a pay-per-view. It's not an advertised match for Friday, I don't believe. You had Eddie Kingston and CM Punk have a pull-apart backstage, which I don't, you know, I'm sure it was live, or maybe it was recorded a little bit earlier. But what they did on Friday's Rampage, I watched it again over the weekend. The magic that they created on Rampage, you know, it reminds me of old school ECW. It reminds me even with WWE at times. There's nothing wrong with replaying something. And I personally think that if you remove Statlander and Soho's promo, if you remove maybe one other thing, you probably could have fit in almost all of Kingston and Punk's interaction on Rampage. And that should have been on Dynamite last week. That should not have been on Rampage, in my opinion. They should have replayed that tonight for everybody who did not see it or saw it before and have seen it 2, 3, 4 times already and wouldn't mind seeing it again. How many times have you seen the pipe bomb in your lifetime? I mean, I'm not saying to air it every week, but I personally wish that AEW would have. I would have rather seen that. And then if you want to lead to some pull apart in the parking lot, that's fine. But they should have showed that tonight. What's up, Lauren? Welcome back. Welcome back. Contract signing. Kenny Omega and Hangman Page. It was good. It was good. I mean, the crowd was into it. Loud cowboy shit chants. Kenny Omega, you know, cut it, giving some compliment to Hangman Page and then really dissecting him, picking him apart, how much of a failure and a disappointment he was. Hangman Page, you know, big time baby face. I mean, I miss when he was Remember the whites of his eyes that he was about to snap? I kind of missed that Hangman Page, to be honest with you. But, you know, obviously he's got the crowd behind him. And, you know, having, you know, the end of the match where he gets hit with the camera and Hangman Page is bleeding from his head and Kenny Omega is taking the blood and rubbing it on the contract, and that's how he signed the contract. I mean, it was good, but I know this is going to sound nitpicking, but this match was announced many, many weeks ago. Why would you do a contract signing 5 days before, 3 days before a pay-per-view? Usually the contract signing happens, if I'm correct, 2, 3, 4 weeks earlier. And then tonight, you could have had a face-to-face. I would have done a contract signing a couple of weeks ago, and tonight could have been a face-to-face. Could have been something a little bit different. Why announce the match for a couple of weeks if you technically didn't sign the contract yet? But I thought it was good. I thought it was good. I don't know how much it really had people really like, you know, oh my God, I can't freaking wait till Saturday. Maybe what they did tonight, the face-to-face, maybe they should have done that at Rampage, in my opinion. So, but that was your episode of Dynamite tonight. Really fun episode. What did you think of it? I'd love for you to post your comments. What did you? I really enjoyed tonight's episode. Maybe not enough to hype up for Saturday. You know, doing a little promo thing or a little recap thing leading into a commercial. I mean, yeah, I could see it to a certain extent. But there was a lot of stuff tonight that felt like it was leading into Rampage instead of leading into Saturday. But it was pretty good. It was pretty good. Yeah, I'm wearing my red my round glasses. I never had round glasses in my life. Don't ask me why I ordered. I got a good deal on them. Got a good deal. But I like Don Callis. I mean, him with the disguise was good. I was, when he hit Hangman Page, all I kept saying was, please, I don't want this to be Brandon Cutler or Michael Nakazawa. And when he revealed to be Don Callis, I'm like, okay, all right, that's fine with me. So Don Callis will obviously get his ass kicked a little bit on Saturday. So not a bad show. Not a bad show. Wow, we still got to do predictions. Well, NXT 2.0, the results from yesterday, Toxic Attraction over Io Shirai, Kacy Conanzaro, and Kayden Carter. If you did not know about it already, Zoe Stark going to be out for quite some time. I think it was 2 weeks ago we said that we heard she blew out her knee. And sure enough, she had surgery to repair a torn MCL and a torn meniscus. So Zoe Stark is going to be out for quite some time. Now they have Io Shirai teaming up with Kayden Carter and Kacy Conanzaro. I don't know how long that's going to last because you cannot have Io Shirai just wasted like this. Io Shirai versus Mandy Rose is interesting. We just don't want to feel like it's Asuka versus Carmella. And a lot of you know why I'm saying that. The only difference is I don't think Mandy Rose is going to have a James Ellsworth in her corner. Kaylee Ray over Saray. Decent match. Can't complain. Kaylee Ray, you know, little different attitude. Dakota Kai, a little different attitude. Having a little feud with Raquel Gonzalez. That's to basically occupy, keep Raquel Gonzalez preoccupied so she's not going for a championship right now. Joe Gacy over Boa. The Creed Brothers over Jacket Time. And yesterday on Patreon, because I had not watched NXT yesterday, I watched it today, but people were spelling Jacket like house music, like Jacket, J-A-C-K-I-T, you know, Jacket, Jack My Body. They wear fucking jackets. People trying to make it out something to what it was not. Kushida and Ikemen Jiro. Ikemen Jiro, you know, guy is already becoming damaged goods, in my opinion. He's happy. He's well-liked. He's fun. He keeps losing. Just my honest opinion. Cameron Grimes over Ru Feng. What happened to Cameron Grimes? He's going to return with all new look. Remember that? Like a month and a half ago? Solo Sikoa over LA Knight and Grayson Waller in a three-way, which was pretty good. Electra Lopez over Erica Yan. Pete Dunne over Carmelo Hayes in a non-title match. So it looks like we may see Pete Dunne get a rematch. Who knows? Maybe it'll happen at War Games, possibly. Yeah, I know the ladies love Ikemen, but sooner or later, the ladies are going to be like, we want a winner. We don't want a loser. Look, I like Ikemen, but I don't want to feel like I'm watching Funaki. I mean, Funaki was entertaining at points, but I don't know. All right. And then, oh, the MSK skits. I was going to do a trivia contest. Who do you think? They're flying 420 miles, you know, doing all the stoned references. I know a lot of you think that they're going to meet Rob Van Dam. I don't know, man. I mean, I just, doing tongue-in-cheek humor about weed is one thing, but actually acknowledging weed, I don't know if they're going to do that on NXT, but the skits are okay. I mean, do you see now what they're doing with the Grizzled Young Veterans? Let admit it. When FTR was in WWE, and I said that the revival, they're going to make them do comedy as a way to get them over, and then sure enough, a couple of months later, they did the segments with the Usos. I said about 6 months ago, they're going to have to do comedy with the Grizzled Young Veterans or get rid of them, because it's way too long and they're not clicking with the fans. You see the segments now? It was only a matter of time that shit was going to happen. Comedy's good, man. Comedy's good. I'm not complaining about it, but I remember when I said that about the revival, what are you fucking stupid? They're going to do comedy. They're all serious. They're no flips, just fists. They're serious. They're like brainbusters. They're not going to do comedy. So we'll see who MSK meets, the Mile High Club. Charlie, I don't know if you're just doing this for attention. I think I know what he's saying. I think he meant the Grizzled Young Veterans got released. Yeah, FTR got released, but still. You know, I said they were going to do comedy. WWE is going to attempt it. They usually do that with a lot of people. They'll attempt comedy. So, I guess what we all have left is predictions for Full Gear. Now, look, this is going to be an awesome pay-per-view. Hey, you know what? Let's put the one that says predictions. That's better. Full Gear is going to be possibly the best pay-per-view of the year. And I'm not saying that to be pro-AEW or anti-WWE. Crown Jewel was pretty damn good. This card is so stacked. I mean, the only way this is not pay-per-view of the year is if some of the matches that we're really expecting to be awesome suck. I'm not expecting America's Top Team versus the Inner Circle to be off the hook. It's going to have some memorable moments. There's going to be some crazy-ass dives by Guevara. Some of the things that they're planning on doing is going to be crazy shit. There's going to be some comedy with Dan Lambert. I'm hoping they give him the wedgie, you know, seen around the world. Remember my comment on Twitter 2 weeks ago? I want the wedgie. We want the five-star wedgie to happen. But that's not going to be the match, like one of the matches that we're really going to look back on and be like, oh, my God, do you remember that match? But there's a lot of matches on this card that really, I mean, they got to deliver. They really do. The only question is, with so many matches on this card, is this going to be a 4.5-hour pay-per-view? Or are we going to get a lot of matches end very quickly? That's, I think, the big question out of everything. Now, the buy-in match, like I said, is going to be Nyla Rose and Jamie Hayter versus Thunder Rose and Hikaru Shida. I don't think any question whatsoever. Hikaru Shida, Thunder Rosa are going to get the win. tonight you saw the fans still want Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker to feud. And if I was AEW, I don't care who's on the roster right now, they should rekindle that feud. I mean, how many times did we get John Cena and Randy Orton over the years? So you get Edge and John Cena. You get other people feuding with each other. Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker should have gone longer. I don't know. We'll see if it gets brought back. But Sheeta and Thunder Rosa are going to get that win. The Inner Circle versus Ethan Page, Scorpio Sky, Junior Dos Santos, Andre Arlovski, and Dan Lambert in a Minneapolis street fight. You know, some of the things that they're planning is going to be off the hook. It's not going to be stadium stampede quality, but they're planning on some fun shit, some backstage stuff. I don't know if we're going to see any Dippin' Dots, but there's going to be some really, really entertaining moments. The Inner Circle has to come out on top. The MMA guys, it's time for them to go. It's time for this feud to end. Dan Lambert will be humiliated. I don't know how long his contract will be. I'm not saying that Dan Lambert is going to go bye-bye after this, but there obviously needs to be a big shift with America's Top Team. Who knows? Maybe America's Top Team, you know, clashes with Men of the Year. Maybe in losing, there's a disagreement afterwards, and America's Top Team, you may have one or two guys knock out Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page and walk out on the team, and Dan Lambert will stay on the side of Page and Sky. Do not be surprised if that happens. To me, in the most predictable match of the night, the Lucha Bros are going to retain their tag titles against FTR. I don't even think there's a question. And for me, not having the AAA tag team championships on the line is the giveaway. Because if FTR was going to possibly win the AEW tag titles, then common sense, why not have FTR say, you put your titles on the line, we'll put our titles on the line. If FTR was going to win the belts anyway, they could have put the AAA tag belts on the line. They weren't going to lose them. And it would have not mattered. But at least it would have really put it in doubt. Oh, winner take all. So the fact that the AAA tag titles are not on the line means FTR is losing. This way, when the Lucha Brothers win, they're only retaining. They're not getting the AAA belts. I know a lot of people don't look at it like that. I just hope the match is really good, and I think it will be. But not having both belts on the line pretty much gives away the outcome. We'll see if I'm right, but I think I will be. Britt Baker will absolutely retain the women's championship over Ty Conti. I like Ty Conti, and the fans like Ty Conti, but something is missing, and I think it might be more Dynamite time for Ty Conti. If she won the championship, where do you go from here? She feuds with Anna Jay. You know, I don't know if the fans really want that all that much. You got a TBS tournament that's going to be wrapping up in about 6 weeks. And believe me, 6 weeks comes a lot quicker than you think. So you want Britt Baker in that position, not Ty Conti. So Britt Baker is definitely going to win. I have put Neosporin on this, George. What should we do next? MJF versus Darby Allin. Boy, this one is hard. This one is hard. You know, one side of me says MJF has got to get this, but Darby Allin lost to CM Punk. And I remember Sting, you know, look, Darby Allin's got this all by himself. Sting's going to stay in the back. One thing's for sure, Sting is not going to be around during the match. He really didn't focus on that this time around. So obviously I expect some clusterfuck. The big question is, does Wardlow and MJF have a falling out? Was Wardlow being on TV tonight a little seed planting that he's going to be on TV on a much regular basis in the ring? So I honestly think, as much as I would like to see MJF win, for me as a fan, I want to see MJF win. But I have a feeling Darby Allin is going to get the win, and would not be surprised if we see something possibly go down with MJF and Wardlow. I think that could very well happen. Maybe Wardlow tries to get involved, Sting gets involved, something backfires, Darby Allin gets the win. So I'm going with Darby Allin. That leaves us Cody and Pac versus Andrade and Malakai Black. Since Cody got a win recently over Malakai, and since Pac beat Dax tonight, I'm going to go with Malakai Black and Andrade to get the win at the pay-per-view. I don't know if Ric Flair will make an appearance. Some people think that that could happen. I don't know. I'd be a little doubtful about that. But I think since Cody and Pac recently got wins, they will lose on Saturday. So I'm going to go with Malakai and Andrade. Maybe we get a surprise person get involved in this match. I don't want to throw any hints. I've heard some buzz. I don't know if it actually happens. So Bryan Danielson versus Miro. Heavyweight Championship Eliminator Tournament Final. Well, since Miro was originally not in this tournament, and since a lot of people felt that Bryan Danielson was taking this thing, if Moxley was supposed to, oh, and by the way, the reason why I'm wearing Moxley's shirt second week in a row, somebody said to me, DT, why don't you wear a Moxley shirt every week until he comes back? Show a little support. I'm like, you know, it's not a bad idea. So every Wednesday I'll be wearing a Mox shirt until he's back. Little gesture. It's all right. Bryan Danielson, I think, wins this. A lot of people want to see Bryan Danielson. It's funny. I think more people want Bryan Danielson to be heavyweight champion than CM Punk. But if Hangman Page, and I haven't gotten to that match yet, if Hangman Page wins the belt, do you want to see him facing Miro? Or you want to see him facing Bryan Danielson? See, they got to look one step ahead. So I'm going to go with Bryan Danielson to get the win over Miro. So what I'd love for all of you to do tonight is, or this week, whenever you watch this, in the comment section, tell me, if you had to choose either CM Punk or Bryan Danielson to be AEW heavyweight champion first. I'm not saying this has nothing to do with Hangman Page. Forget him for a moment. But if you were forced to choose right now, CM Punk or Bryan Danielson is AEW heavyweight champion, which one would you choose? I think people might be shocked at how many people will say Bryan Danielson. I think you'll be shocked. And look, if people choose CM Punk, do not feel like you have a wrong answer. There is no wrong answer here. But chat room, you can post yours. Absolutely. Everybody will see your comment posting it back. But I think Bryan Danielson absolutely gets the win over Miro. You know what I think might happen? I thought this was going to happen months ago and it never did. When does Kip Sabian get his revenge on Miro? Does Kip Sabian return? Does Kip Sabian cause Miro the loss? And now the Redeemer has to feud with Kip Sabian, and that's a way to get Miro away from belts and for gold for a little while. I am God. God picked me. I'm the Redeemer. I must have gold. And then Kip Sabian ruins his chance. Fuck the gold. We need to bash Kip Sabian. Don't you think sooner or later Kip Sabian has to screw Miro at least once? Let's see if that happens at the pay-per-view. See if it happens. We got three matches left. The Young Bucks and Adam Cole versus Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, and Christian. Falls count anywhere. Boy, I tell you, I can't see the Young Bucks and Adam Cole losing here. I just can't see it. I don't think Jungle Boy would get pinned, but I could see Christian Cage getting pinned in this one. Falls Count Anywhere means clusterfuck city, means other people getting involved. So I think this match will be a lot of fun, but I'm going to go with the Young Bucks and Adam Cole to get the win. I just can't see, you know, them getting the loss on this one. I mean, Jungle Boy, you know, got a win today. He's going to get a win on Friday. So they shoved in a couple of wins right before it. So I'm going to go with Adam Cole and the Young Bucks, the Super Elite, to get the win in this match. So we have two matches left. CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston. Amazing. You only need 1 week to get everybody not only sold on this match, and honest, let's be honest, did any of us have any doubt? Last Wednesday, when we said that they were having the match at the pay-per-view, now it's just a matter of them selling it to us. They could sell us a bridge. I mean, honestly, they could pretty much sell us anything. We probably would have bought it. So you got two guys that are just masters on the promos. The fans are invested in both. If you look at Rampage again on Friday, the fans seem to be more behind Eddie Kingston than CM Punk at times. That is an interesting freaking dynamic. And what's even more interesting is, would AEW give the win to Eddie Kingston? Remember when I said earlier about upsets? If you really think about AEW, Orange Cassidy getting a win over Jericho, that was designed, obviously, to try to elevate Orange Cassidy. But you look at AEW's first couple of years, it is very rare ever that we get an upset, clear-cut upset. And even though Eddie Kingston beating CM Punk might not be necessarily the big upset that some people think, if you look at AEW's standpoint, their big guys don't lose matches. If they lose matches, it's usually a tag team, is usually some bullshit finish. You feel like they're not giving a loss to Bryan Danielson, unless he's teaming up with someone and somebody else gets pinned. You don't feel like CM Punk is going to get any losses anytime soon. You don't feel like Adam Cole is getting any losses anytime soon unless he teams with somebody else. Oh, we'll team him up with Brandon Cutler. Well, guess who fucking takes the pin there? So the big question is, does AEW have the balls to have CM Punk lose this quickly to anyone? And as much as I would love to see Eddie Kingston get this win, as much as I probably would love him beating CM Punk more than Hangman Page beating Kenny Omega, I just look at AEW for the last couple of years, and I just can't see AEW giving that win to Eddie Kingston. Seriously. No matter how inspirational it is, no matter how awesome what he just wrote is, no matter how great his backdrop is, no matter how popular he is, no matter how much of an underdog he is, at the end of the day, it just feels like AEW almost every time never has the balls to really give somebody a win and really as a complete upset. And I just don't see it here. I don't see it here. So I'm going to go with CM Punk to win. Even though me as a fan, I want Eddie Kingston to win. I have a feeling Eddie Kingston loses. Somebody hits the ring. Somebody tries to get involved after the match is over. And then Eddie Kingston and CM Punk may end up teaming with each other to fend off whoever hits the ring. Please do not let it be 2.0. Nothing against him. But I would not be surprised. Would not be surprised if we get some distraction after Eddie Kingston loses abruptly. Kenny Omega versus Hangman Page. Yeah, Gun Club could definitely be it. Absolutely. Kenny Omega versus Hangman Page. A lot of people feel this is a two-year storyline. This is a COVID-affected storyline. This is not AEW's design to let it drag out this long. This was not intentional. It ended up. And I think AEW realizes that fans have wanted to see Hangman Page as champion for a while now. A lot of us thought he was going to be the first AEW heavyweight champion and went to Jericho. After 2 years, after a year and a half of COVID, after a year-long run with Kenny Omega, that has really fallen flat. And there's no reason why Kenny Omega cannot regain the championship again in the near future. I think Kenny Omega needs a little bit of a break from being a focal point of AEW's heavyweight champion, even though it's been more skits. A lot of people hated my guts when I said about 8 months ago, welcome to Kenny Omega, the sports entertainer. People like, he fucking hates sports entertainment. He would never do. What do you think you've had for the last 8, 9 months with Kenny Omega, especially? Sports entertainer. He turned into a sports entertainer. And guess what? That prolongs his career because he does so much work behind the scenes. I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing, but I think it's time for Kenny Omega to take a little bit of a break. You have Brian Danielson that's going to win this Eliminator tournament. Kenny Omega could insist on a rematch, and who knows? We may get Brian Danielson versus Kenny Omega versus Hangman Page, which is the match I said about a month ago will end up happening. So contrary to a lot of people, because there's a lot of people that think the Hangman Page is losing, I'm going to go with Hangman Page to win this belt. And I think to keep it fresh, that we could very well have a three-way as sort of the next feud. Kenny Omega needs a little bit of a break. Hangman Page wins the championship. So that is your AEW predictions for tonight. I am going to jet out of here. So don't forget, tomorrow night, I will be up here for the Q&A live stream. And for those that have been waiting for me to announce where the shows are going to be moved to, tomorrow night probably will be the night that I reveal it. Now, let me remind everyone, you probably won't need to do anything different. Whether you get the shows through iTunes or Podbean or iHeart or Spotify or whatever it is, those links likely will not change. The only thing that'll change is where those outlets get the shows from. But since I will be moving to this network, there's going to be some changes physically, aesthetically, visually. New promo coming. So that one with Karrion Kross, the NXT, tonight was the last night, you'll see that. Maybe some new artwork as well. The shows will be a little bit tighter. I might be a little bit more professional, you know, because I'm going to be in some pretty big company. And I just very curious to see the reaction of some of the other shows that are on that network. Be like, this guy? Seriously, there's at least two people out of the six that, because there's very few wrestling shows on there. That's why I said to them very nicely, I said, you know, I'm pretty humbled and honored that I was chosen. And I asked them point blank, I said, are you putting on like a bunch of new wrestling shows right now? No. We want you on there. I mean, they are going to add some more, but they're like, no, we want you. And when I saw the other shows on there, I'm like, I'll leave you with this. Remember, I brought this comparison up before. Remember Maven? Tough enough. Maven, remember when he teamed up with Evolution that one time? And it just looks so freaking out of place. You got Maven Huffman and Evolution teaming up. When you look at the podcasts that are on this network, wrestling related, and you see the freaking Don Tony thumbnail behind me on that network, I can't help but laugh. I can't help but chuckle. I'm not trying to put myself down, but when you see, and trust me, I promise you, I'm not overhyping this. When you see the other shows that are there and you just picture me smack in the middle, you're going to be like, who did I bribe? Let's use a nice word tonight. Maybe a couple of years ago, I would have used a different word. Who did I bribe to get on this network? So tomorrow I will show you the channel and I will show you the other shows that are on there. And I promise you all, I promise you I'm not hyping. I'm not overhyping it. When I show it to you tomorrow, I promise you all, when you go back and you look at the chat room transcript, you will see a lot of emojis of people, LMFAO, exclamation point. People would be like, no freaking way. It's that funny. But it's awesome. It's awesome. Yes, Benjamin, I'm going to announce it tomorrow. I will be officially on there probably by Saturday, but I am allowed to. I can announce it right now, but I'd rather put it on the screen tomorrow with the chat room on the screen too, just to see everybody's reaction. Because I'm telling you, if you've been with me for at least the last couple of years and you see who I'm surrounded by, you're not going to help but just laugh hysterically. It's going to be fun, man. No, tomorrow. And I'll do it early. The show starts tomorrow at 10:05. I will tell you within the first 30 minutes. I'm not going to make you sit for 90 minutes and then reveal. I'm going to do it near the beginning, and we will talk about it. And tomorrow, we'll take some calls. And remember, probably next week, we're going to debut that call-in show. You know, for those that aren't aware of it, you know, I am going to be doing a show that is strictly your call-ins, because there's a lot of you that would love to call in to talk about AEW, talk about WWE, NXT, other stuff, wrestling, non-wrestling. So that show is going to be called The Sit Down, you know, because if you know anything about Mafia, you know what a sit down is. Hey, The Sit Down. Hey, we're going to have a sit down. So there's going to be some cool shit ahead. And I promise you this, I'll leave you with this last thing. Anything that goes forward, I'm only looking to get bigger and better. I'm not doing it to hurt anybody. I'm not doing it to spite anybody. And I'm not doing it to take anybody's viewers, listeners, revenue away from them. I'm not looking to do that. I'm one of those that a lot of you out there enjoy different styles, different shows, different formats. In no way, shape, or form am I trying to take anybody away from that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that immediately think you're trying to screw them over. That is not the case at all. I've been doing this since 97, and I really need a reason to keep doing it at my age and to have the support that you all have for me and to really see these shows developing into something pretty damn unique and special. That's why I do it. Believe it, there's some podcasters out there that think I do it just to do this, to give them an FU. That's so far from the case. Nero Faye, my friend, email me. Let me know how your biopsy went. I mean, I don't know if you got the results yet. Do not say it publicly. But much love, my friend. Nero Faye, tuning in all the way from Israel. Big time difference. Shout out to you. And by the way, tomorrow, we might hit 22,000 subscribers. We are this close of 22,000, which is freaking awesome. We just hit 21,000 a couple of weeks ago. So whatever you all doing, spreading the word, letting other people know about the channel, I thank you. Keep doing it. And let's kick some ass. So thank you, Lauren, Austin, Chris, Charlie, Ken, Psycho, Sam, Darren, everybody. So let me get out of here. I'm on a streak right now of shows under 2 hours. So we're finishing tonight under 2 hours. Yeah, it went a little bit longer because obviously we had the predictions. I originally was going to do predictions on Friday. But since I'm not doing a show Friday night, we're doing predictions now. So everyone, be well. And where is... Oh, here it is. Okay. Got to get my outro ready. The outro will be the same as well. Yeah, I could stop stream, but we'll be under 2 hours, Darren. So everyone, good night. I hope you can join me tomorrow, 10.05 p.m. You know, maybe we'll do a couple of contests mixed in as well. We'll have some fun. I have a few ideas in mind. So, good night, everybody. Be well. I see you tomorrow.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.